Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave Leventhal is with us on the WBEN Trocare College Liveline, Washington Insider. Dave, with Milton coming ashore late tomorrow night, early Thursday, it's a very challenging time for FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, with these back-to-back hurricanes. Lots of questions about its response. What is the agency saying about how equipped it is to handle this?
Two things to note. First, this is short-term, and FEMA has said and all but guaranteed that they will, at least in the initial response to Milton, have the resources, have the ability to deal with Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton at the same time and provide the resources that are needed to the people who are affected by both storms. Let's remember that the North Carolina recovery and also two states such as Virginia and Georgia and Florida, of course, in the Panhandle, have all been affected in profound ways in the areas where the hurricane hit. But this latest storm, we don't know, of course, what we don't know, but we're going to find out in about 2 days. And then it gets very quickly to the question of, okay, well, after the initial response, and mind you, the state itself, the state of Florida, is going to be essential in this equation. Local and state resources are always, no matter what the disaster is, the first line of defense and the first line of recovery. What's going to happen after that? And there's a big question, Susan, about Congress, which I suspect we're going to get to in a moment.
Well, on FEMA and some of this funding, that it's always a question of where it comes from, who's responsible, how it's divvied up, right? There has been a lot made in the last week about how much funding through FEMA allegedly has gone toward the migrant situation. And is that taking away from the disaster response, or are they separate pools of money from the get-go?
Yeah, and first of all, I would just say there's been so much misinformation out there about where money is actually going and how resources are allocated. This is complex, but it's also not. And FEMA has dedicated funds where they receive money, Congress appropriates it. It goes to things such as FEMA's disaster relief fund, their flood insurance program, and Congress has a choice. They can fund it at a certain level or they cannot. And we can have lots of conversations about budget priorities overall, but in terms of the money that FEMA has available, Congress is going to have to potentially come back early, which is something that Speaker Mike Johnson does not want to do. Congress is out of session until November 12th. But if we get into what I just mentioned a moment ago, the longer-term question about, hey, are they going to have enough money over the weeks and the months to fund their operations? That's going to be a question for Congress to allocate more resources to FEMA directly. And so that, I think, is a question to focus on. But, yeah, you know, everyone should definitely check the sources and use common sense before firing off on Facebook or whatnot that FEMA doesn't have enough money because of other priorities out there. This has been largely debunked and is just not a factor in all of this. What the factor is right now very simple. Is FEMA going to get more money because of what Congress does in the next few weeks? The answer likely is going to be yes, one way or another, but how soon that actually happens and whether Congress does come back to Washington before the election doesn't seem like it's likely, but depending on how bad the storm is, that may be something that you hear for the next couple of weeks, which would be a fairly extraordinary thing, Brian, if ultimately that had to happen and that came to pass.
All of this happening 28 days before the election, what impact could these storms have on the election itself?
Well, the most practical, Susan, is people's ability to cast their ballot. In North Carolina, I mean, you still have towns and villages and hamlets that have effectively nothing. They still don't have power. They still don't have running water. People are out of their homes. Businesses have been destroyed. So for somebody just looking to exercise their democratic right as a citizen, that's a huge question as to whether they're going to be able to do that. And again, in Florida, we don't know exactly what the situation is going to be, but this is a very, very detailed and sometimes complex process. You've got to have all the localities on the same page for having ballot boxes open and polling stations and precincts up and running. And if you have whole swaths of land and territory that are just simply unable to even provide basic services, then there are huge questions, absolutely, about people's ability to cast their ballot. So, you know, we talk about elections so much in national terms, but the act of voting is the most local of acts. And that's very, very much going to fall on the state of Florida as to how that all works and if there are going to be any additional or extraordinary accommodations that have to be put in place in order for people to be able to exercise their right to vote in the presidential election and all the down ballot elections, too, that, of course, are going to be taking place in early November.
How has or have the campaigns reacted to Helene and now Milton? And how is that playing into the campaigning that's going on right now?
Both presidential campaigns have spoken about it, have talked about it in great detail. Both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris have been in the affected areas, not campaigning per se in a traditional sense, but showing their presence there, but also to staying away in large part to not be in the way. And that's a very fine line that campaigns have to walk. You don't want to be seen as being an obstructionist to things that are happening in terms of disaster relief. You don't want resources being diverted to protect you or otherwise take care of the campaigning that you would be doing in terms of emergency response or police or security or anything of that sort. So that is seemingly what both campaigns have as a strategy, if you will, or what they're doing on the ground. And I would expect that would hold true, Brian, for this latest hurricane that's hitting, that you would not see Donald Trump or Kamala Harris right there in the affected areas in the immediate days after the hurricane comes ashore.
North Carolina is a battleground state, Dave. How could Helene impact this race in that state?
Yeah, profoundly, I think. You know, you look at the numbers, you look at how many people have been affected. This is a race that in North Carolina could be decided quite literally, Susan, by thousands of votes. I don't think that's going out on a limb to say. At most, tens of thousands of votes likely between the two candidates. So every vote counts, and it sounds so cliche, but in a state where the polls consistently have been within just as close a margin as you could possibly think up, that it could be huge. So there have been absolutely questions about the areas that have been affected, Asheville, other smaller communities, as to whether people are just going to simply stay home. They're not going to vote at all. And that absolutely could have an effect on the ultimate a determination of who wins North Carolina and who doesn't. And Florida is less so. Donald Trump is leading, expected to win Florida, but that's still within 5 percentage points between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. So not a small, consideration too in the state of Florida, even if Kamala Harris isn't likely to win that.
Well, Dave, thank you for the time as always. Dave Leventhal, Washington insider, joining us on the Trocare College Live Line this morning.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.